Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Captain Phillips, and joining me is...
I'm also a captain, aren't I? Or a lieutenant commander? I don't know what I am.
You're a commander. I promoted you.
Woohoo! From a place that I no longer pay membership dues because I kind of forgot and they never sent me an email. Good job on notifications. Anyway, I'm Mike the Birdman Dog. Glad to be a part of it. Now throw them under the bus in any way, shape, or form.
And what am I? What's my rank?
I think I promoted everybody to like either lieutenant commander or commander just because all I right. wanted to like anarchy in the system.
Okay, well, I'm doing a mutiny and I'm declaring myself field marshal. Field Marshal Alex.
Well, what's
murderer of pigeons. What else? I add a whole bunch of stuff to my name.
Well, it's funny because I have... we have six members. One more person dropped off the face of the earth.
We should all be captains, but we're all on one ship. And it's like, why are we all on one ship?
Who are you? Upper management! Fly!
It's like Scotty was a captain, Spock was a captain, Kirk was a captain, and they were all on the Enterprise A.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a good...
Everybody else was a commander. But yeah, it's funny because I mentioned to them, I'm like, you should probably... you know, send notifications when they're about to expire, and they're like, well, that's the chapter's job. And I says, yeah, except you don't let us actually contact the people because we can't see their emails in the back end.
Well, that's the fucking point. Don't forget, they are old people that expect that we are meeting up like weekly or monthly in person.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, it's a correspondence. Like, it's not supposed to meet up in person, but they, yeah, so they sent you. I don't know if... Oh yeah, I told you guys in the direct message. They were throwing a fit because they got a new commander of Starfleet and they changed a bunch of things and they're still waiting on their database transfer over, and the Academy just got a major overhaul. They're still working on making things so that they're easier to answer and you're not playing like, oh, let's answer 50 essay questions with things that ultimately don't matter. Where somebody's going to get you on semantics and be like, oh, you don't get a perfect grade because you didn't have the exact answer. So they're going to be like true, false, and like multiple guess and everything like that. So it'll be, you know,
easier to breeze through.
Fun. Yeah. I see an essay for one of them and I'm like, nope. I'm like, skip. I'm not going to do it. And
an essay should only be if you're getting promoted to admiral. It's like a doctorate, right? Like you should have a dissertation or some like you. It shouldn't even be like even right or wrong answers. It should be like a real school where you just have to make your case. And if the rest of the panel thinks, yeah, that's right, then you graduate.
Yeah. Well, the thing is there's so many classes in there, though, you'd have to take almost everything to be. But the only way you get promoted is if you take some kind of a leadership role, like beyond fleet captain.
Like that's the first time I joined was like 2010. When was it, Mike, that it was a sponsor?
2012, 13, somewhere in there.
Did they actually pay you?
They gave me free membership.
Okay, so $5.
Like, all right. Yep, so $5. I'm like, all right, sure.
Yeah. Did they mail you the package?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had the full package. I had the thing for my car.
They switched everything to PDFs now, so they don't send you nothing.
Yeah, I joined when I think I paid like $5 or $10 to get the mail package version, and I still have it somewhere. The original one when I joined, was I on Hadfield or something?
Yep, and that's what I'm still a part of.
And when I was on there, and I was like, okay, so what do we do? And they're like, we don't really do much. And I was like, this was like almost 10 years ago. I'm like, what? And I remember going to some of the lessons. They did some of them way back on my old account. Like I had a different email even back then. So that's why I guess unless they wiped out the old profiles, when I went to sign up, it said I didn't have a profile already. But when I was going through the stuff, like it was already outdated then because the movies had already started up and changed things.
Oh, yeah.
I remember people asking, how did the movies go into it? And the official response back then was, those movies aren't canon. And it's like, they kind of are, and everything moving forward is. And their response was, it's not real Trek. I'm like, oh, you're those people.
It's funny because they don't have anything Discovery on there either.
What?
They don't. Not yet. They don't have anything for the short tracks. They don't have Discovery. They don't have. I'd imagine they'll have Picard because
They're all over his shit. They'll be on like, oh god, yeah. Picard. No, but they're still gonna be mad about something. But at the time,
but they,
I remember the new thing that they were touting was they had integrated the Archer stuff, and I'm like, wait, that show ended like 6 years ago, and you just put stuff in.
Yeah, they're a little slow behind the times. They're finally closing down their Yahoo groups and everything, and the Google groups and all those groups that nobody uses because everybody's on Facebook. It's funny because they finally got like a region website for Region 13, and it's like super lame. It's a one pager, so there's like not much there, which honestly doesn't matter.
What you're saying is, to parlay into the real, what we're like the meat of this, we're going to talk about the show. Are we living in the current Picard world where Starfleet is failing?
We're rebelling against
Starfleet is failing, and we're like, well, this isn't the Starfleet I remember. Starfleet isn't Starfleet anymore. Oh my god!
That's basically what we're getting at.
We are living in it.
Yes,
we're living in the Picard universe. We're living in the Prime universe in Picard's timeline.
So yes, if you guys hadn't gathered by now, we are going to be talking about the brand new series, which is airing on CBS All Access, though CTV Sci-Fi in Canada
and Amazon Prime in Canada.
And Amazon Prime in Canada, we're talking about obviously Picard, which is, as of this recording, aired 3 to 4 episodes. We're recording before the fourth one has aired, so don't know what's happened, but obviously there will be spoilers abound, so deal with it. You've had weeks, and opinions will be unbiased, and well, I guess let's kind of start the discussion off. Where do we go from here?
So maybe we should start at the first episode.
Do we start at the short track?
The short track, yeah, that would make sense.
Let's start, because that sort of, you know, that bridges the gap, right?
It kind of takes place at that timeline of like 14 years before he's retired.
I hadn't seen the short track.
Okay, so you want me to sort of recap? Because I actually watched it yesterday.
Yes.
It is my favorite of the short tracks, by the way. All of them. And it starts out like an anti-bullying PSA. A girl is late for school because one other girl sort of trips her and beats her up, and she misses the bus or the space bus or whatever, the space shuttle, school shuttle, whatever. She gets to school, and then they start doing, you know, tit for tat, hitting each other back and forth and getting in trouble. They end up having a huge fight. All the while, the Peter Gabriel song Heroes is playing. And then as they're fighting and rolling around, everything gets really quiet and they hear sort of like, you know, what's going on. They look up and they see both of these girls, their parents worked on Mars. And they look up and they see Mars is burning and exploding and on fire. And all the teachers have no idea what to do. And then it cuts as they're standing together crying.
Oh, geez, that's intense.
It is, but there's also very little talking. So it's all played with emotion and with the scenery and the music.
Yeah, the only lines of dialogue I believe in it are from the teachers when they get in trouble.
Yep.
And then it cuts to the news program, and it shows in the news Admiral Picard's reaction reacts to Mars disaster, and then it cuts away.
So yeah, it's very intense. And then that, of course, you know, you get into the first episode of Picard, and it was kind of interesting how they decided to launch it, having it on the Enterprise D.
My guess is that's to draw people in, to kind of give them a sense of familiarity before they launch into proper stuff.
Yes. Do you remember? You remember how All Good Things ended?
Yeah, he decided, I should have done this a long time ago, played cards with the crew.
He finally comes and plays cards. How does this show begin? He's playing cards. So it's sort of a familiarity thing. It's like,
well, how it ended, it begins.
Exactly. It's like we jump forward now 20 some odd years and this is where he is. But then you're like, Data, and the first thought that comes into your head, or at least mine, was, oh, did B4s you know, actually assimilate the neural network? And no.
Well, I knew they weren't going to bring Data back as B4, because in the trailer they even showed the disassembled body of B4. So I figured it was going to be a dream sequence. Plus the fact that they're on the Enterprise D in 10 forward playing cards, and the ship was destroyed, and Data's and he's wearing his first contact uniform.
I didn't think about that. I for when I was seeing it, because I was just, you know, mesmerized, I didn't realize it wasn't the E.
Yeah, it was the Enterprise D, because you see the D, and then it goes through the window, and then you see him sitting in 10 forward, and then he's playing cards with Data as he remembered him before he died. So, yeah. And then the whole thing where they're going back and forth and bantering, and it was a little rough where Data was trying to act like Data, like where Brent Spiner was trying to act like him, because he wasn't quite as like quirky as Data was normally.
I think they wanted him to stay still because they used that de-aging software that they invented originally for X-Men 3. You remember that when they, that's got to be almost what, 15 years ago now, when they did that to de-age Patrick Stewart in the flashback scene. And then now it's basically used in like every movie. The most famously, I think recently in The Irishman, it was used to de-age De Niro.
But it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. But you have to be, for a TV show budget, there can't be a whole lot of movement. So I'm assuming he had to keep his head as still as possible.
Well, it wasn't that. It was that he didn't have the quick quirk with the neck type stuff when he was thinking. Yeah.
Because that kind of quick movement costs a lot of money to animate if they're going to be superimposing it on top of him.
The thing is he didn't, it looks like they didn't even de-age him. He looked aged.
Oh.
Because they changed it. It was the original trailer, he was de-aged on a couple of the footages, but they actually reversed it and just gave him.
To an extent,
but he's.
Fatter in real life. He's like thicker than he is there, so.
Well, yeah, because Data was a lot thinner when he blew up,
and he was and he was still thicker then than he was, you know, on the show. And not to say that he's fat by any means, but he was always a very, very thin man. Like when he was, like Brent Spiner, when he was a stand-up comedian and all that stuff, like
super thin.
Yeah, super duper thin. So,
but
later on in the other dream sequence, not to jump forward, I did notice that they did the de-aging software better, and he had better movement there. So I feel like that was a scene done later. I would not be surprised. I don't know the order, but if this opening scene was literally the first thing they shot.
It probably was, because they probably had those uniforms on hand as well, because that was the most recently used thing on everything. The other thing that kind of triggered it is when they were going all in and everything, you know, just playing the cards, and then five red queens showed up on Data's cards, and he kind of broke him from his dream sequence. You know, knowing that something wasn't right, and then Data disappears. And I was almost thinking that those, and this is kind of floating around too, but one of my friends at work was stoking the fires on the message groups on CBS and Star Trek Picard groups. Because I said, you know, you could almost infer that that's like insinuating Q may eventually show up.
You think that? Here, you want me to hit you with my conspiracy theory?
Sure.
That it's not Q, that it's five Borg queens.
Oh, that makes sense too.
That you know, that there, that not that there are five, but that there have been five. Two of them are dead. And is this Data, you know, spoiler, the Data's daughter idea of these being, you know, twins, is it not Data's consciousness necessarily, or is it Data's consciousness mixed with a Borg queen?
Yeah, that could be, because if judging by almost by dates, you know, they did technically assimilate him in First Contact.
Well, and the idea that they're working on a Borg cube, you know, it's revealed later on in the episode. The idea, you know, queen, you know, multiple queens is, or the idea that they're all the same suit, you know, there's clones involved there. They're clones of the same suit. So there's these two girls, but are there actually five? Or are they connected by some sort of hive mind because they're all the same? It all ties into little things. And the writers for this are not the kind of writers that would just put something in for no reason, or it's like they could have put whatever. It could have been, you know, five kings. Why did it have to be queens? So
yeah,
I feel like
five red hive minds type thing.
Yeah, or five, you know, five connected, you know, identical women.
Well, and then they kind of call one of them being the destroyer, but
yeah, exactly. So there's that, and also, you know, he's saying that, oh, she has a twin, right? Well, when, you know, moving forward plot wise, for I'm assuming pretty much everybody listening to this has seen it, right? So there's no, we don't have to describe every detail. But when they move forward to Dash's apartment, the very first thing that the assassins say is, "Where are the rest of you?" Not, "Where's your sister? Where's the other? Where's the rest?" And that's the only time that's mentioned. And then they only later on they say, "Oh, they're made in pairs," but that's a very deliberate line. Where are the rest of you?
That is true. Yeah, I didn't catch the "where are the rest of you," but I did think it was kind of interesting how now if you haven't read the prequel comics, you don't get a full picture of the two Tal Shiar Romulan agents that are with Picard, kind of as his bodyguards and working on the farm.
Yeah, like that was the thing. Like, I didn't quite get it. Like, I knew immediately. Like, I ended up watching it once, and then I watched the second run through with my brother because he's like, "I'll watch it on my own, but will you watch it with me?" Because he's not as big of a Trekkie as I am. I'm like, okay, and he really likes it. And he goes, first thing he says is, "Are they Vulcans?" I'm like, "No," immediately. And he goes, "Oh yeah, because they're showing too much emotion and they know how to talk to people." And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "What's the difference between Vulcans and Romulans?" I'm like, "One knows how to talk to people, and also they can get angry, and one does not, and they're kind of smarter."
Yeah, so
that's basically the difference. But in showing them, like they're at first, it makes it seem like, oh, they're basically his like personal support workers or like groundskeepers, and then it turns out no, they're his freaking bodyguards.
Yeah, and have you either of you read the comic?
No,
unfortunately, no. Okay. I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. So, anyways, Blanchard was supplying me with that. So I'll have to pass that along, but. It basically jumps back to when Picard and Raffi are trying to take all of the Romulans and all of the other life off of the planet, like the other humanoid type creatures, because the Romulans are like, "No, we don't want you to save them." And then so essentially one governor of one of the outposts decided, "Oh, we're going to take over the USS Verity," which is Picard's flagship, which is the Odyssey class starship that's the same as the Enterprise F in like Star Trek Online. Mm-hmm. So he left the Enterprise to go command the Verity.
Cool.
And they catch up with LaForge, who's now commander of the Utopia Planitia shipyards. And he's developing all of the starships around Mars to excavate the Romulan people. And so he's working with Picard on this, and so he too left the Enterprise, and it doesn't say anything about where the ship is. It just kind of, they're not there anymore. But so anyways, Raffi and Picard are taken hostage, and then these two Tal Shiar agents had gotten the local life forms to basically break them out of jail. And this governor had already taken over part of the Verity. And then Picard's crew, of course, subdued them when Picard managed to get back there. But the two Tal Shiar agents more or less joined forces with him because they could never go back to the Tal Shiar because they kind of had relations with each other, which is against the Tal Shiar code, apparently. And so they had nowhere to go. And Picard's like, "So what do you know about wine or, you know, about grapes or something?" And so that's how it ends. And
okay.
so yeah, they looked a little bit different, but then when you get them in this, it adds a lot more depth to their personas. So I had to explain this to a few people that hadn't read that prior to watching.
That's kind of cool.
It almost would have been nice if that was discussed on like a talk show before the, like, remember how they did? Was it,
you know, After what Trek for a while? That should have been a short Trek.
That should have.
Yeah, like it could have I don't know if it would have dug into maybe some of their sales, but they could have literally done a motion comic to show it off. Like a
just have it voiced.
Have it voiced by those actors and show that as a short trek shortly before, or literally even make it part of the first episode if they wanted to, or like an extra feature or something.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but unfortunately they didn't. And so what did you think about the new the Doctor of Cybernetics?
Isn't
Allison Pill?
Yeah.
Is she married
to Jay Baruchel? Scott Pilgrim? Yeah.
Isn't she married to Jay Baruchel or somebody?
She's in, like, I don't know. Oh, I know her from Scott Pilgrim. So.
And the movie Goon and Goon 2.
She's, I forgot she was in that too.
She's a little out of place. Some of the actors seem, not that they're like the wrong, she seems the wrong age. She
looks too young.
Even though she's like 40, like she.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she is. I'm pretty sure. I'll double check.
She's 34.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's not that. Yeah.
She still looks young though.
She looks like she's still. Problem is, she looks 25.
Yeah, I would agree.
But she's a decent enough actress. It's not a problem. It's just she seems a little out of place. Like, it's the kind of role you would have figured they'd cast somebody in. It's like 50. You know what I mean? Like, not old, not young, but you're still the leader in your field. Then I guess she was technically the second foremost authority on it.
Behind Bruce Maddox.
Yeah, when we eventually see who Bruce Maddox is, I'm assuming he's going to be an older person.
Oh, well, I would hope it'd be the same actor.
If he's still alive.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
So, I wonder if he's done what Dr. Soong did in that, creating an android body and transferring his consciousness. Because there's a novel where Dr. Soong does that, and he creates like a lifelike persona of himself, and then he transfers Data's consciousness into the body.
How about instead of that, he transfers his consciousness, but what if he's the mother represented in Dodge's communications?
Like he's using a holographic subterfuge to hide his face,
or that is who he's chosen to look like as a digital entity. He's the father in creating, but he's the mother in nurturing. Like through all.
So he's basically playing both sides, but he's also, that's why he also is like, go to Picard, even though she never mentioned Picard.
Exactly, go to Picard. He'll help you. The way the mother reacted was a little too panicked for a AI robot, or like an AI program, or a fake memory, or you know, something like that, or like an implanted thing. The mother behaved like a scared parent would behave.
Makes sense.
As far as I'm not, the only thing I'm not a big fan of, and again, it's a bit of a nitpick. It doesn't bother me too much, but the swearing in it
seems out of place.
Now, it does.
The one thing to consider is they are not on a Federation commissioned ship, working as basically a naval officer on duty, which is what they always were on the original show. And you couldn't swear. And in the movies, they could if they wanted to, but they didn't. But
well, unless they were in the real world, like the Voyage Home. Yeah. But
even then, that was, you know, Miles swearing. Dropping F-bombs in front of Picard is odd, but at the same time, I understand why, because none of them work for
well, the Admiral did it.
Yeah, well,
the Commander and the CNC.
Yeah, was also talking to somebody who's non-commissioned anymore.
True.
So, like, I can understand, I can get both sides of that. It's a little, you know, odd, but again, things have to move forward. It's also trying to establish, when he's saying that this isn't Starfleet anymore, Starfleet doesn't stand for what it used to, it's also not just talking about Starfleet, it's society itself. Mm-hmm. So they've moved past civility in a lot of cases.
Well, there was an interview, one of the people involved in the show, I don't remember specifically who, but I remember the quote fairly well. They said, you're never going to get rid of swearing. It's basically a part of human language, part of human culture, and it's just something that's just not going to go away. The main reason they couldn't do it back in the old days was because of the FCC. So as they're doing it because they can. It's shock value. It's the same reason Discovery did it.
Remember, they would say things like, damn it, like it was a big deal. Damn it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or go to hell. But no, the sheer fucking hubris, Picard. Okay. it was like, all right, that's a little out of left field, but remember, lady.
Some shows used to push the boundaries even at that time. Like, we're talking like 90 or 91, you have Simpsons episodes where they're saying whore. So, you know,
fair enough.
What made me think of it was I saw the clip of Homer making his makeup gun and he fires it in Marge's face, which you could not do on TV now. No. And then he fires it in her face and she looks in the mirror and he goes, Homer, you have it set to whore. and then he goes, just 1 second, Marge. And he shoots it. She makes it miss it. He hits the wall. And then Lisa says, Dad, women aren't going to like getting shot in the face. And he goes, honey, women will like what daddy tells them to like. And that was considered just a ridiculous, you know, the over the top screwball comedy then. And they got away with that in 1991.
So doesn't surprise me.
They used to push the boundaries. Star Trek didn't try. Star Trek was all about being inclusive. So I get they wanted to get the widest audience possible. They wanted children to be able to watch it and ask questions and learn from it. So I get where they're coming from. This is a little different story. Children aren't paying for this streaming service.
No, like I've got some problems with this show, and I'm just going to lay them out very, very, very quickly. I know some people who work in the Star Trek community on some various projects, and they did point out some very interesting things to me about this. The swearing does seem unnatural. I'm willing to let that go, as we've just discussed. It's a cultural thing, and because they can push the envelope, why not? I noticed this with the Daystrom Institute specifically, and I know this was a production choice, so I'm not as willing to let this one go. In the 24th century, that's when this takes place, right? Am I right here?
Late 24th century.
Yeah, I don't think in the late 24th century they have exposed HVAC, but that may be just me. Also, when they're on starships, do you remember how in Star Trek it used to go whoosh, and doors used to make the whooshing sound?
Yep.
They don't do that anymore. And again, that may be just a small oversight.
Yeah, well, remember, new ships, maybe they don't need to.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, probably just a small oversight or something they could explain away by saying something like that. And it's little things here and there. There was something a friend of mine pointed out to me. They're doing a shot of planet Earth from orbit, and the light map looks like it was taken today. And for comparison, this person showed me a light map from season 2 or 3 of The Expanse on Amazon Prime. And he's like, Mike, what do you notice differently? And he's like, look at all the development or light around Lake Michigan. I'm like, oh, that's different. And he's like, look at Florida. Half of Florida is now underwater. And he's like, oh, that's because of rising sea levels. And he's like, you're telling me nothing has happened on planet Earth in a couple of hundred years? And he's like, oh, that is interesting. That is kind of lazy. I get it, because television budget, and nobody probably thought of it. And it's little things. When the nitpickers get to me, I start to notice it. Like, I like Picard, but I don't love it just yet. That being said, there are some elements of the show that I think are fantastic. When they reference what happened on Mars, that was interesting as hell. Explaining how they built a fleet of androids to go help with the Romulan evacuation. That was cool. And then there was something about this that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The Federation member planets threatened to pull out of the Federation if they went to go rescue the Romulans. And that doesn't seem very Starfleety or Federation to me.
What I'm guessing is they're trying to make it tie into Discovery going 900 years in the future and having only 6 planets left in the Federation.
Maybe it just seemed off.
What I see in that is a couple things. One, a lot of these Federation members joined the Federation out of fear of the Romulan Empire expansion.
That is true.
These are people that have been at war with them, or the Romulans had basically destroyed them or forced them to join the Republic. And they had joined to specifically escape them. So I can understand why, especially they said it was a lot of the newer members didn't want to be a part anymore. So like this, it was never going to rock. I mean, it might have messed up Vulcan a little bit, but as far as like, it wasn't going to destroy the Federation, but there's a bit of that, but it's also trying to show that maybe the Federation has grown beyond its means.
Well, yeah, because, well, it's something to be said, because if you look at the Federation, there's been the battle of Sector 001, which was the Borg. There was the Dominion War, and the Federation moved from being a fleet of discovery and science to a military organization. And even some of the writing is very inconsistent with that, because Starfleet is very different from the Federation. Like, they're two different branches. And it's just, it's weird lore inconsistencies as it's been explained to me. And when I think upon that, I can say, yeah, the Federation, they're not this type of asshole. Starfleet maybe, but not the Federation.
Well, it sounds like, even though the Romulans are supposed to obviously be Rome, like the old Roman Empire, but mm-hmm. it sounds like what's happened here is you've got a civil organization, you know, the United Federation of Planets, that has grown beyond what it can manage, and the branch of government that handled the defense and diplomacy, which is the like basically the military faction, has had to grow more militaristic to fight threats as they grow, and now they're growing apart.
Yeah,
the Federation has grown beyond what it can handle on its own, and Starfleet is more concerned with policing than peacekeeping.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, and the other thing is there's another inconsistency that I don't know if anybody's noticed. They say that you know, they have before broken down in their tank there, and they say that, yeah, his positronic brain more or less couldn't handle Data's information and just basically crashed and everything was lost of Data.
That seems like a really easy cop-out way to kill him.
Well, I wonder, there's two ways to look at this. One is it's a cop-out way of not resurrecting Data, but
which
it's also
more likely.
Which is the cop-out way, or Maddox dumped his memory somewhere else and told them that it was a failure.
That's maybe a possibility, that maybe Data's living off the grid. I just don't think I don't think certain show writers are that grandiose in their thinking. I think we're going to be surprised along the way, but I don't think we're going to get a grand payoff.
Well, this is my thought on it. They're bringing back the holographic doctor for season two, tentatively, yeah. And they're bringing back Whoopi. The other thing is, I'm being that the holographic doctor knows the ways of the holographic, you know, the those type of the hologram people. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's going to play into season two, and that they could possibly bring Data back as instead of an android, as a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
How great would it be if, you know, Brent Spiner doesn't want to be in the makeup and anything anymore, if they basically turned him into the computer for the ship?
Well, that would happen in the original comic for the 2009 movie, where they had the current timeline, and they had Geordi basically running the Enterprise, and had Data as the captain. But he also integrated himself into the central computer system of the Enterprise, and so he could make himself be a hologram and run the whole system, but had his physical form like sitting in the command chair. You know, while Picard was like an ambassador to the Romulans, Vulcans, whatever, and Spock was trying to save the planet. But that would be an interesting way of doing it. Or they could end up pulling from the memory Data, where Noonien and Soon returns. There's a novel called Cold Equations, The Persistence of Memory, which says that he survived his death by transferring his mind into an android body far more human in appearance than Data's.
They could have him without makeup and not have to do the de-aging, just make him look like Brent Spiner.
Exactly. And so basically have dumped his memories from before into his own body. Because it says that in this book, more or less, that, you know, because Data's memories are in B4, he's unable, like Dr. Soong is unable to complete the new body he had been attempting to construct for Data due to a Borg invasion in the brain. So he transferred Data and all of Soong's memories and a new ability to use contractions into Soong's android body so that Data could look human and basically operate human.
What's happened to Lore?
That's what I'm wondering, because they haven't, they have not touched on that. And, and mind you,
how messed up would it be if he's behind all this?
That was my other thought, is because B4
they're not that clever.
Well, B4 is destroyed basically tore apart in a box. Lal is the other one that Data basically gave to Starfleet to play around with, to the Daystrom Institute, and Lore, they did the same thing. So I'm wondering, you know, where the other two androids are. Plus Julia Tainer, his mother that looked human and basically bled and had all these other positronic ways of looking human, which was the most advanced android that Dr. Soong had built. Mm-hmm. So there's definite possibilities with all of these different aspects of the Soong type robots.
What if it's not Data's brain that they've reconstructed and it's Lore's? And that's why they're saying that they're the destroyer.
It could be. And it would make sense too, because the new androids all of a sudden went against their own kind, you know, went against the Starfleet crew that they were supposed to be helping. And you could see the eyes flicker. It would make sense that Lore took them over.
Like basically he's hide, like, because their positronic brains should technically be very similar, that the idea is he's basically hidden his own synapses in like a Trojan virus that activates.
I can see Lore doing that.
Pretend to be Data for long enough to basically screw over all the organics.
I could definitely see him doing that.
So that, you know, that's again the first episode. They, you know, zoom out, show that it's a Borg cube reclamation site, and that's the episode, Mike, that you said you weren't super interested in, right? Or is it the second one?
Yeah, the first one was some interesting setup for the world, had some good possibilities, but I wasn't in love with it. Number two was a lot of setup, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it should be. You should be doing a lot of world building, filling in the blanks. Number three is where I'm like, okay, now I kind of give a shit. So took you a few weeks, but all right.
I liked the Romulan fight in Picard's house in three, where the Tal Shiar agents were basically like whooping on him, and Picard was, and then that Dr. Girardi took out the last one.
She's like,
and was like pleading, like, take me with you.
She's like, he's okay, right? Romulan, was it
Romulan disruptors don't have a stun setting.
She's like, oh,
I just killed that guy.
Yeah. And Picard's like, I like you. You like tea, Earl Grey.
Yes. I like that there's the new ship captain, his holographic doctor is
him
with a more Irish accent.
And then the other one, he's got a holographic version of him that's the navigator, emergency navigating hologram.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you should be happy Picard's here, because he was the, you know, the one that talked to the Q. He's the one that did
he was your hero.
Yeah.
When you were a kid.
Yeah. And so like it was really funny. And he's like, oh, shut off. And but I think, and I wonder what Raffi's other side is. Because, like, you know, she's playing him in some degree. So I'm wondering if she's doing it to get reinstated, or if she's got an ulterior motive against Starfleet and the Romulans. Because she said she's going with them for a trip, and then she's getting off. Yeah, but
I get the feeling that she wants, I don't think she wants to hurt Picard as much as, you know, she pretends that she does. I think she's trying, she wants to probably find what's his name as well,
Maddox.
She probably wants to kill him. Like I think she's there to basically
she's a mole of some kind. Maybe
she's like, I'm going to kill all, you know, all anybody that screwed me over, and I feel that he slighted me by destroying my career by, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah.
There's going to be something like that involved.
Yeah. And it looks like after the banning of synthetics in 2385, which is 14 years before Picard starts, because it's 2399, that Maddox went missing. And and it's funny too, the head of Starfleet security, the Commodore, she's actually a Romulan agent, because the people were like, oh, it's a Vulcan, they have double eyelids, why is she wearing sunglasses? And then the showrunner goes on Instagram at Michael Chabon, and he goes, or Chabon or whatever, he goes, maybe it's not a Vulcan then. And
or maybe just thought it looked cool.
Yeah. Well, they showed, you know, the whole thing with other people, and so I'm guessing it's a Romulan. It makes sense. It's very transparent in that way, but I think some areas it's very like easy.
I almost feel like this show is a more realistic extension of the episode 25 of season one, Conspiracy. Instead of it being parasites taking over,
it's Romulans.
They've been not, and I'll bet you it's not just Romulans. I'll bet you that there have been different agents from different because they've expanded so big, it's been easier to slip people in.
Yeah,
like I would not be surprised if it, you know, he ends up exposing the Romulans there, and they find out there's more agents from something else.
Oh, well, they probably said the Jat Vash or whatever, which is secret.
I mean, beyond Tal-Shiar. Them, like who knows how many strategic moves have been made by multiple parties.
The changelings.
One thing I do like about this, how they've explained the Romulans have this fear of artificial intelligence. They openly say the Romulans only use their computers to do basic math and navigation. They have a fear of AI.
They don't allow their computers to extrapolate on information. They have to manually program every calculation they want it to perform.
You know what's something? I said this to Alex before. Star Trek Picard has more in common with Mass Effect than it does with Star Trek.
I can get that.
And I kind of like that.
Also,
because
very much like Battlestar Galactica, the 2000 series.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. It's just different.
Because you remember, the Galactica only survived because they refused to upgrade it to a networked ship. Survived because things were
analog. Yeah, exactly. Like the Battlestar Galactica literally was one of the last analog Battlestars. It wasn't hooked into the computers, and that's why all the Vipers that fought against the Cylons were all old models that were mothballed because they weren't networked.
They literally had radios. That's how they communicated, like old school radio.
Which I always thought was something really cool that the 2000 series did really, really, really smartly.
Yeah, I almost feel like that's sort of that fear of artificial life is very similar to what they're showing the Romulans have.
Yeah, it's almost like how the Quarians are afraid of the Geth in Mass Effect. Like they created artificial intelligence so great it overtook them. And I have a feeling there'll be something in Romulan history created something so great they had to destroy it for fear that it come back.
Are they going to reveal that they invented the Borg?
No, I don't think it'll go that far.
No, because they said that they've been around for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. Although I could see them maybe touching on maybe something else from weird Star Trek lore, but I don't think
V'ger or something.
I wonder if they'll make reference to something like that, but I can't see them touching on anything super, super deep, because part of the problem I have with this show is because it wants to find a new audience while still attracting people like us, is it has to be accessible enough that Joe Blow can get into it, but it has to appeal enough to us nerds. I mean, hell, listen to us right now. We're talking about this on a podcast. So clearly it's worked, but on one level, I don't think it's going to get as deep as we're thinking. I mean,
okay, wait.
It's not like It's not like Doctor Who. Doctor Who has been consistently on the air for a long time. Star Trek, people had fought for Picard to come back for years, right? Like easily, yeah. What, like a decade or more.
People wanted another movie after Nemesis to sort of finish the series, and then it didn't happen.
Yes, exactly. So it took a long time of convincing and to get Patrick Stewart back on board. Pretty much when they backed up the truck full of money to his house.
He couldn't for a while. He was locked into that Fox contract for all the X-Men movies for quite some time. And it wasn't like he would do big budget X-Men movie, then two or three small pictures, big budget. And he was always scheduled for something. Now he's basically, other than this, and at some appearances, he is slowing down. He's turning 80 this year.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like there's only so many more, like you're not going to get 10 years out of this program with him. We might get 5 or 6 if it goes really well. And especially if instead of 10 episode seasons, if they shoot like 30 episodes straight and then split it into 3 seasons, we can maybe get, you know, several years out of him. But there is going to be a point where it literally be next year. He could be like, I'm getting too tired. I can't do it anymore.
Or dies some health reason. Or
exactly. Dies. Yeah. He has said he wants to keep doing this as long as he can. He sees this is if they'll keep renewing it, this is where he'd like to retire. So good for him, especially if they can tell, good stories throughout. But they've returned.
Well, Spiner's 71.
They're all getting there. I think Jonathan Frakes is like, 68, something like that.
Well, and Shatner's 89.
Shatner, that dude's going to be 105, though.
He will never die.
Fat don't crack. And he somehow has he's going to be like 90, and he has the energy of somebody who's 60.
I know. Well, he said he got approval to shoot a show in space once he's going to take one of those first space flights, like trips.
Yeah. Why not?
And then if I die up there, it doesn't matter.
They should find a way to get him into some sort of trek, whether it be in a hologram, whether it be in one of the dream sequences that Picard has, like have him, have a dream sequence where he's sitting at a table and it's the cabin from Generations.
And then he's like, reiterating his line of don't let them promote you. Don't let them take you off the bridge of the ship. Cause when you're there, you can make a difference.
Yeah. Or you know how you work that in season 2, you bring in Guinan and you have some sort of, he sees Guinan, talks to Guinan, blah, blah. And then he either has a flashback or somehow the Nexus is involved. Cause technically he never left the Nexus. You can leave the Nexus, but you're still there.
Yeah.
Right? At some point in time. So,
what's funny is you'd have to almost die in the regular world to be able to come out of the Nexus.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. Weird.
But the other thing that's really weird about the show is in episode 2, like, his doctor is from the Stargazer. Mm-hmm. And they've alluded to he has this degenerative disease in his brain, but they haven't name dropped it yet.
But it's not the same disease from All Good Things, is it? That something
they didn't say. Yeah. They didn't say, but it has, the way they're making it sound is it sounds very similar.
Well, that's what I think it's going to be.
Timeline wise, in All Good Things, doesn't it? Was the flash forward 20 years or 30?
No, it's 20.
Yeah,
so it's about right.
It's about the right time. Different events have happened.
And the thing was, as Crusher said, that he had traces of it, and he says, "Well, the future is a very long time." You know, so I have a feeling you'll see me for a very long time, is what he said, like after he was checked. So essentially, it's alluding to the fact that he did get it.
Yeah. So fine. Cool. But
which means that he's degenerating faster to the point where he's going to expire on the show at some point.
They might work.
They'll probably kill him off.
Or they'll hold that. If the show keeps getting successful, they'll hold that till he decides he can't work anymore or gets sick for real. And they'll work him out. And that's how they'll end the show. But without getting gloomy, like what I wanted to say a little earlier is about the Romulan fear of AI. I wouldn't put it past them to change the lore slightly or add to it. What if the great divide between both races of the Romulans and Vulcans is due to AI that they created together?
I think that would be okay to me.
Think about it like this: the Vulcans were the geniuses that designed the matrix of the brain, the logic board, the logic of the AI, and the Romulans gave it the emotions and the algorithms, and it tried to basically kill both of them. And that's what they split. The Romulans hated the Vulcans, vowed to never use AI ever again. The Vulcans purge it from their history and devote their life entirely to logic, because look what happened when we let emotions take over.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
And then we go like a couple thousand years, and enough time has passed that the average Romulan, average Vulcan don't even know the story.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
I mean, I guess, because I kind of want to wrap this up, I have hope for this series. Now that things are finally get going, we're finally going in the space. We all heard the line, he's going to say it, engage!
And he smirks, and then the Dr. Jurati smirked.
No, there's no make it so yet, though.
Give it time.
He'll say it. He'll say it when he meets Riker.
There has to be a Q episode. If that
make
happens,
it so number one. Oh man,
they haven't released the numbers for the show, and it's going to be interesting how they calculate it. I imagine they're going to spin it however they want to spin it into something very positive. It's probably the most watched thing CBS All Access has.
Well, oh yeah, definitely. They said it is the number one show.
Don't be surprised if, because I believe, is it Netflix in Europe and the rest of the world?
I think so,
because that's how Amazon Prime said that in Canada it's one of their most watched things, and it's not even a show they made, but they have exclusive rights to it. And it's probably on the old Space Channel, CTV, Sci-Fi. It's by
also
far,
on Crave.
It's probably the most watched thing. Like, that's funny how you can watch it on Crave, Amazon Prime, and Canada. We have two different streaming platforms for it, and as well as terrestrial cable. So it's probably like the most watched show right now up here overall. If you look at the production, if you were a little on edge about the direction and stuff, because I wasn't a big fan of the crazy amnesiac who happens to be a ninja, like Born Identity type thing that was going on in the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. But I feel if there's any changes that are going to happen to the show, it'll happen in these next two. These next two are directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Well, and he's building his crew too.
Yeah, he's building his crew. Jonathan Frakes is directing it. You know, he directed, what was it, a couple episodes of the TV show, two of the movies. He acted with Picard in 178 or 176?
177, I think.
So, something like that. Episodes together. You know, they've known each other for years. And plus all the movies they did together that he didn't direct even. If anybody is going to make the show feel like Trek, directing it'll be Frakes, mm-hmm. or one of the original Next Gen people that might come on board, but I don't think anybody would have the like camaraderie with like Patrick Stewart. If anybody's going to bring out the most Picard you can get out of Picard, it'll be him.
Yeah, hard agree on that one. I mean, it set up some interesting things with this Romulan mystery that's going on, with the Romulan super secret police, with the Borg Reclamation Project, which, gotta say, fantastic special effects there. Good practical.
Oh, yeah, use. Definitely.
You want to win my heart? This is my final thoughts on this. I don't care if it's, you know, what episode it comes out, if maybe it's the, you know, episode finale of this season, have them be in danger, have there be a space dogfight / fight where there's no way they can win, and then I want fucking Captain Worf to come in the Defiant for some reason. He's defected, they have a Defiant or something, and he comes in and then it ends with like them being beamed aboard,
or you have Captain Geordi LaForge on the USS Challenger.
Yeah,
you know what I want someone to die, someone named important to die. Show me that the stakes are high enough, Wesley, in this show that they give a shit. Yeah, honestly, kill someone like Wesley. Give me something important.
You know what? If you really want people to, like, fans to get in on it, what you have is you have two. Okay, this will piss you off, Mike. Though, you have two people within Starfleet that contact Picard, and they're like, "We know something's happening. Something's wrong within Starfleet." Similar to a conspiracy. And have both of them die, and have it be Barclay, because have him not believe him at first, because, you know, he's had his issues with mental health.
Yeah.
And then have Picard find out that they're like they're broadcasting something on you know the Starfleet and blah 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 on television or whatever it is. He turns it on and it shows accident on way to so and so thing, Admiral Janeway lost. And have that be the other person that was going to contact him.
See, yeah, I'd be okay. I mean, honestly, if you want this show to get taken seriously, if you want to hook people for season two, it's not just enough to get the holographic daughter. It's not just enough to bring back Guinan. No, you show the show has balls, has grit to exist in the 2020 television landscape. You take a chance. You want people to stay subscribed to CBS All Access. You have to prove that this is event programming. Yeah,
here's your season finale. Risk. If I was writing, here's your, not Barclay. Janeway contacts him, says something's wrong. I know, you know, we know who it is.
That I know there's something in Starfleet that's happening.
Something in Starfleet. He sends information on that they believe, like he figures out who the security officer is that the, you know, an agent.
The ball.
And he's like, I have to talk to somebody I trust. Admiral Janeway responds on a secret channel and says, I'm coming to you. And the don't put it at the very end of the episode, put it halfway through so you're not going to expect it to be the finale. Janeway starts up on a shuttle towards him. They're basically going to beam her on and the ship explodes right in front of them.
Yeah, just kills her. Yeah, honestly, do that. I'm willing to sacrifice Janeway if it means the show will have balls and have teeth.
And we're not talking she comes back miraculously, she's in the pattern buffer or something. No, she's gone. Like she's on screen.
Yeah,
she's on screen with him talking, saying, all right, give me docking coordinates and boom. And she's gone on camera.
Yep, do it. And I'm not saying that to be cruel.
Basically, the only admiral that would be there that had his back is now gone. And Starfleet is poisoned. And he's like, what do we do? And that's how you end the
pretty episode. Much. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I guess, Steve, what are your final thoughts on this?
I really enjoy what I've been seeing so far and how it's been building. I've been enjoying the way that it's been kind of fleshing itself out. I am looking forward to more familiarity with it, but that's going to come with the episodes and with time, and the more they start kind of ingraining some of the old cast back in with like Seven and Hugh Moore and Riker and Troy, and I'm assuming there'll be another Data show up point at some moment in the season. So but yeah, I enjoy it overall so far, but I still have a few things that I'm curious about as it progresses. You guys? So,
yeah, I mean, ultimately, you've got my attention. Now hold it. You have 7 more episodes as of this recording. Don't play with my emotions. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, or if they're going to play with your emotions, play with the right emotions and stick with
make it worth my while to stay subscribed. I will speak with my wallet.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, to me it's the best Trek. I'm the guy that liked Nemesis, but I will admit that it was better than Insurrection. I liked aspects of Enterprise, certain episodes here and there. It got good in the fourth season, but then I liked the first Abrams movie, despised the second, won't watch the third because it looks stupid.
The third is actually really good compared to the second.
The opening is the stupidest CG bad. Okay.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I here's the thing. I own it in 4K and I can't bring myself to put it in my player. Had to have it. I'm like, I have to have the best quality copy of Star Trek. So, yeah. Anyway, Discovery hated the first season, but would watch it. Not hated. I was mad at how they treated the lore. Second season, not so bad.
Enjoyed second.
About the same quality as the later seasons of Enterprise after they fixed some of the issues. It's at least as good as the Abrams movies. You know what I mean? Like, this is by far, in my personal mind, the best Trek since First Contact.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's better than. I'm not saying it's better or equivalent to. It's the best since.
And that's it's sort of more watchable, I think. Yeah. So, we will definitely come back to talk more Picard as the season rolls on, probably closer to the penultimate episode where we will see where things are definitely leading to. So definitely check back in with us in a few weeks to talk more Picard.
Yeah, maybe how about we do like three shows beginning? This is the first three, then we do the next three, and then we do the final four.
I like that.
That way we can sort of cover it all.
Works for me.
That would work. And then, of course, they've been pulling some interesting things in Star Trek Online where they're incorporating Seven and various other fun aspects.
Has Picard decanonized Star Trek Online?
Yes.
That's what I figured.
Only incrementally in ways, because Data exists in Star Trek Online, although they never show him. There's a scene where Sela is arrested, and you can clearly tell it's him walking, because he goes in and shows the hologram of Natasha Yar to her. And because she's like, tell me about my mother. And so he sits down with her in an interrogation room, more or less. And that's the gist of what you get about Data being alive, but like they don't actually like come out of their way of saying it, and Picard's never shown up in the game, or Riker, or
any of the mainline super characters. Well,
they've had Worf, they've had LaForge, they've had, you know, Data quasi show up. Troy, Riker, Picard, and Crusher have never shown up, so that still leaves the possibility, not knowing what's going on there. But yeah, the Romulus thing still happened. It doesn't say anything about the synthetic ban or anything like that in Star Trek Online, but I'm sure they'll add it. There was nothing there about it. So this time period that they're exploring, other than the Breen War happening, you know, somewhere around that time period, nothing's really happened. All so. Right. And then their relations with the Klingon Empire destabilizes during this time. And so like in 2399, they're no longer friendly with the Klingon Empire. So until 2410.
Imagine, I was just, again, thinking, because this show has me thinking so many different ideas that could be done that would be cool. What if, again, you can't trust anybody in Starfleet, so he has to use back channels. So for instance, like, how does he acquire transport through a certain area? Well, he has to talk to Quark or somebody that's a Ferengi.
And that would be cool.
And it's like, well, you know, what if basically DS9 characters start showing up, you know, from, you know, what if he has to deal with Cardassians to get through somewhere because they can smuggle him through?
And if they brought back Garak, I'd be pretty happy.
I would love Garak to be in there.
Yeah, we can't have Odo, unfortunately.
But Garak.
But and then you want to do something interesting. Have the only person that he can go to for help is he has to contact Ben Sisko, somebody who hates him.
Yeah, that actually would fit with his finding a crew of people that hate him.
Well, you know, I'll just say this before we finish out the show. I just reviewed the Gamma Quadrant book for Star Trek Adventures from Modiphius. They actually mentioned Sisko, and that book, those books are considered canon by CBS, though obviously they can decanonize them at any time they wish. But according to the books, Sisko is technically not dead, because according to Kira, he will see him again. So his status is still unknown.
There's that,
as of the end of the Dominion War.
Because what I was thinking was, how does he transport through places? Well, he goes through Worf, and Worf uses his DS9 connections to get him places.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
So anyway, Steve, take us out.
So until next time, live long and prosper.